Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1. Stick your finger in there and then flip over to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I hope you brought your speed dials with you tonight. And if you could and you would, stand for the honor of the reading the Word of God. I'm going to read out of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I'm just going to read a piece of a chapter there, or a piece of a verse. And the majority of our texts will be coming out of 1 Peter. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 19, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing?" Let's pray today. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, God, we come to You once more on this side of eternity, Lord. God, I'm a needful creature tonight, Heavenly Father. I need You. I need Your touch on me tonight, God. Lord, God, I ask that You just guard my lips and my tongue and my mind, Heavenly Father, and You just empty me of me. And God, You just fill me of You, Heavenly Father, that I can be a help to Your people. God, I'd say nothing that would defile or bring shame to You or Your Word or Your only begotten Son. And God, I ask now You prepare our hearts for what You're going to deliver to us, Heavenly Father, that we'll hear it, Lord, and take it to heart, God, and understand what it means in our lives in this day and hour in which we live. And God, once again, I offer up the prayers for those that are sick out there today, God, the ones that are hurting in the hospitals, Lord. Those that can't be here that would love to be here, Heavenly Father. God, I just ask for a special touch on their lives, God. Lord, thank You for each home represented here, Heavenly Father. And God, my most earnest prayer of all, if there's one here tonight that don't know You in the free pardon of sin, that God, that You'd just show them their status in life, Lord, that they have no hope, God, that they're in this world, Lord, lost and undone and going on their way to a devil's hell. And God, You'd wake them to that fact, Lord, and You'd bring them to You before it's everlasting too late. God, once again, I want to thank You for answered prayers. I want to thank You for who You are and what You're doing and what You're going to do. God, I love You and I need You, and I thank You and I praise You in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Back over in 1 Peter is where we're going to take the majority of our text from. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And I got to thinking about that question Paul asked over there in 1 Thessalonians when he was talking to the church at Thessalonica. For he said, "What is our hope? What is our hope?" Well, the definition of the word hope is a joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Another word for it is also faith. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to share with you what God showed me about this word hope. I would like to take some of the characteristics and some of the attributes of this word and share them with you out of Peter's letter to out of the doctrine of the Bible, and to share some of these with you the way God's opened up in my heart. And I hope that you get as much out of them as I have. And I'd like to preach for this simple thought for just a few minutes, if the Lord will help me. This is our hope. This is our hope. Well, verse number 3, first of all, tells me that it is a living hope. Verse number 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, that word lively means to live, to breathe, to be among the living, and to enjoy real life. We as Christians need to enjoy our life here on this earth. We need to understand that we're one of the chosen, we're one of the elect. We're one of the called out ones, and we need to have that, and we need to understand that our hope is in a living hope. You know, the Muslims, they pray to Allah, the Easterners, they pray to Buddha, and the Orientals, they pray to Confucius and all that stuff. And you can go to wherever where these men died, and when they died, if they put them in a tomb or if they buried them or whatever they did, if you go dig them up or pull them out, what you're going to find is a bunch of rotted flesh and bones just laying there where a man laid. I'm telling you right now, they prayed to their gods with a small g, and they worshiped Him, and they carried on with them and everything. But I'm here to tell you right now, there's a tomb over there in Jerusalem, praise be unto God, that the tombstone has been rolled away, and it's not that He's not there anymore. He's risen and seated at the right hand of the Father. He's no longer there. He is my lively hope. He is my living hope today. I don't worship some dead God. I don't worship something of this old world. My hope lies in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who sits up there and makes intercessions for you and I. He's my go-between. He's my intercessor. He's everything to me tonight, and I praise Him and I thank Him. He's alive and in my heart. I'm going to repeat what our pastor says. How do you know He's alive, preacher? Because He lives in me. He guides my steps. He leads me along my way. And then some that's dead can't do that. I can't follow something. I can't be led by something that's not alive and not breathing. My Savior's alive tonight, and I thank Him and I praise Him that He is, because John 10:10 says, I come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I have abundant life. My life is going to go on from now on throughout all eternity because of what He's done for me, because my hope is a living hope tonight. And verse number 4 tells us that it is a possessed hope, that it is a possessed hope. Verse number 4 says, to an inheritance. That word inheritance means what is given to one as a possession. What is given to one as a possession. Turn with me to 1 Ephesians. 1 Ephesians chapter number 1. I mean, not 1 Ephesians, but Ephesians, the only Ephesians. Chapter number 1. In verse number 13, it's a possessed hope. It's an inheritance. What is given to one as a possession. You know, we have something to look forward to down here. This ain't all there is. We have something to gain when we get on the other side of the river. We have something to look forward to. I can't help but think what a big junkyard is going to be on this side of Jordan because of all the wonders and glories that are going to be on that side. But verse number 13 in Ephesians 1 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth of the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance. Thanks be unto God, I have something to look forward to. I'm here to tell you right now, I have possessions up there that are waiting on me to take possession of. Down here, I'm just a steward. He's the master. He's the owner. I'm the steward. I'm the one that takes charge and takes care of what He possess or what He gives me. I don't possess anything. I like that song that says, my Father owns both sides of the river. Well, I'm here to tell you, He owns the river too. I'm here to tell you, He owns all there is and all there ever will be on this old earth. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and He owns the hills, and everything in between is His. All we do is we take care of it. We are stewards of it. We're supposed to do it. We do with it what He sees fit, not what we see fit. But we give the way He says give. We do with it what He says do with it. It's not ours to do that with, but it's His. And we need to understand it is possessed hope because it's an inheritance. We're going to take possession of our inheritance. One wonderful, marvelous day, we're going to come to that place where our inheritance becomes ours. And not only is it a possessed hope, but verse number 4 tells us that it is a pure hope. That it is a pure hope. Back over in the text, it says that to an inheritance uncorruptible and undefiled. That word uncorruptible means indestructible, not liable to corruption or decay. Undefiled means unsoiled, free from that by which the nature of a thing is deformed and debased or morally untainted. I'm here to tell you right now, there ain't nothing going to go in that place that's going to defile anything. It's going to be pure. It's going to be sanctified. It's going to be holy. It's going to be righteous. It's going to be pure. It's going to be absolutely perfect. Over in Revelation chapter number 21, you don't have to turn there. In verse number 25, it says, and the gates of it shall not be shut all day, for there shall be no more night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That tells me that not only is my inheritance pure, but when I get there, I'm going to be pure. Because the only thing that's going to enter into that place is the ones that are written in the Lamb's book of life. And my name's on the roster, I'm on the roll. When my name's called, I'll be there. And I will be pure, I will be undefiled, I will be incorruptible. I won't be liable to corruption or decay. I'll be indestructible. I'll be unsoiled and free from the things that defile and cause corruption in this old world. Man's hands will never touch it. Satan will never see it. I'm here to tell you right now, we have so much to look forward to because of the hope we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a pure hope tonight. It's a pure hope. Verse 4 tells us it's also a preserved hope. A preserved hope. He says up there in verse number 4, to an inheritance uncorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That word reserved is a perfect tense word. The Bible uses words in the participles of past, present, and future. That word reserved right there is a perfect tense participle word. What that means is it has been preserved in the past and still is being preserved in heaven and always will be. There is no past, there is no present, there is no future. It's just from now on and now on and now on. We don't have to worry about time up there in that place. We don't have that to think about. It's going to be a perfect tense. Everything up there is going to be perfect. Over in Colossians 1 and 5, And our hope, it's a preserved hope. It's been laid up in heaven for us. Because Colossians number 1 and verse 5 says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, thanks be unto God, it's been laid up." That word laid up, those two words laid up, give us the tendency of it's been set aside. Or farmers, when they would gather up their grains, they would lay them up in the storehouses. They would lay them up in the threshing rooms. And they would lay these things up and lay them aside. And I have something laying up there for me that's been laid aside. And it's a preserved hope. It's been preserved for me until I get there. My inheritance is going to be everybody's inheritance. It's the same. God's going to give all. I'm an heir to the throne. I have everything in store waiting on me that's His to be preserved for me one great and glorious day. And verse number 5 says, it's a present hope. It is a present hope. Who are kept? That word kept is in the present tense. Turn with me to Isaiah 49, 15 and 16, please. Isaiah 49, verses 15 and 16. It's a present hope. Well, preacher, what do you mean by it's a present hope? Well, because your friends are going to let you down. Your friends are going to turn their backs on you. Your friends are not going to be there when you need them. They say, "Oh yeah, we'll be there. We'll be there." But I can promise you, when the time comes, when it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, your friends will turn their back on you. They will forsake you. Even some family will turn their back on you. Even some family will not be there for you when you need them at the greatest time. But I'm here to tell you right now, because of what I have now, what I have in the present image. Verse number 15 of Isaiah 49 says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on a son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I, there's a promise of God, not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." In other words, I am always before my Lord and Master. I'm always before the eyes of God. He never rests. He never stops His vigil. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't have to sleep. He never takes His eyes off of me. I'm always in His sight, always on His mind, always in His thoughts, because I have that present hope of being one of His. I'm constantly in His presence. I'm constantly there with Him. Not only a present hope, but a powerful hope. Back over in our text, over in 1 Peter, it says that you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. How much more powerful than you get can you be than to be kept in the power of God? The Bible teaches me I'm twice hid in God. I'm hid in Jesus Christ, who is also hid in God. How much more powerful can you get than that? I'm talking about the God of this Bible that stepped from out of nowhere onto nothing, that breathed this old world into existence, told the moon, hung the moon and stars, and told them to stay there, and they have. I'm telling you, He's the most powerful. He is all-powerful. He's not half-mighty, but He is God Almighty. It is a present and a powerful hope that we have as being the children of God in this day and hour in which we live. I'm telling you right now, we have hope. It's not a hopeless situation. We may look around at the world today and say, "Oh no, what are we going to do about the election? What are we going to do about the oil prices? What are we going to do about gas prices, rising prices here? This, that, first one thing and then another." And everybody sees it as being a hopeless cause or a hopeless case. But I'm here to tell you right now, I have hope tonight. I have hope. And I have hope in what my God has promised me and by what my God tells me through His Word. And this is our hope, the promises that we have in this Bible. It's not a hopeless situation. It's not a hopeless case. I've read the back of the book. We win. It's fixed. I'm telling you, that's all we got to worry about. We don't have to worry about nothing because of the hope that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, we have that hope tonight. Not everybody can say that. Not everybody outside in this world out there in bound Georgia can say they have any hope. All they see is just the dead ends. All they see is just the turmoil and sadness and sorrow. They don't see the hope that I can see. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what kind of valley you're in. I don't know what kind of trial you're in. I don't know what kind of tribulation or storm you might be in. But I'm here to tell you tonight, my Bible tells me that there is hope. That is not a hopeless situation. There is an end to that valley. There is a top to that mountain. There is a dock there. There is a port for you to get off that sea on. There is somewhere to go, and God says that He will get us through. He says He will take us through any of our storms. He will carry us through. Oh, thank you, Lord. Verse number 6 tells us it is a persistent hope. It is a persistent hope. That word persistent means to go on continually, on and on and on. It says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye're in heaviness through manifold temptations." You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" See, that persistence comes, if you'll study this out, it says that little phrase in there, "if need be." That translated out is "it is necessary," or "there is need of." I thank God in heaven that He looked down in time before the foundations of this earth and saw a need for you and I, saw a cause for you and I, saw a reason for you and I, that He looked down through time and said, "There's one of mine, you're going to be mine, you're going to be in this church, you're going to be doing my will, you're going to be doing everything I need you to do." But there was a need, there was a cause. And it says, "Ye are in heaviness," and that means to make sorrowful, to affect with sadness, to cause grief. I'm here to tell you right now, no one went through more sadness or more sorrow or more grief than our Lord and Savior. He suffered the things that we'll never suffer. He went through the pain and anguish that we'll never go through. He suffered the turmoil that we'll never suffer. I'm here to tell you right now, He went through those things. Why? Because there was a need. It was a necessity. Before the foundations of the world, His face was already set toward Calvary. He didn't come down here on this old world not knowing what was going to happen. He left the gate. He left the glories of heaven knowing what was going to happen. He left the glories of heaven knowing that man was going to spit on Him and scourge Him and hang Him on an old rugged cross and bury Him in a borrowed tomb, and He'd rise on the third day. He knew these things, but there was a need, there was a cause, there was a necessity in our lives that we needed to have this thing. There was a necessity in our lives so that we could be bought back from that place called hell, so we could be redeemed of our sins, so we could be bought back from that pit, and so that Satan could no longer have anything on us. I'm here to tell you right now, it is a persistent hope. If you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 8. "If need be, ye are in heaviness." It's necessary to be made sorrowful. Our Lord and Savior, it was necessary for Him to be made sorrowful. So who do we think we are to think that we're not going to be made sorrowful? Who are we to think that we're above being suffering, or we're above trials and tribulations, or we're above these little things that we go through here in this walks of life? I'm here to tell you right now, verse number 8 in chapter number 4 of 2 Corinthians says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, thanks be unto God. Cast down, but not destroyed." Look down at verse number 15. It says, "For all things are for your sakes." Not some things, not almost all things, but all things. All this trouble and this distress and perplexion and persecution, that's all for our sakes. That's all for our sakes tonight. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace that might through the thanksgiving of many redound or abound into the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man may perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Don't you know Satan looks at us just like a bad penny? He thinks when he's got us knocked down and knocked out, boink, here we come. We may not come back the same every time. We may not come back as strong as we once were. We may not come back the same person we once were. But Satan, he can knock us down, but he can't destroy us. He can mess with us, but he can't have us. He can't touch us. And that's what I mean by persistence, because that inward man is renewed day by day. In other words, I'll get up tomorrow all fresh and new on the inside. I'll be another day older in the flesh, but I'll be another day younger in eternity. Boy, that'll help you right there. I'm here to tell you that'll help you. I'm getting help with my own preaching tonight. I'm here to tell you that's what we need. We need help from the Word of God in this day and hour in which we live. Now, I'm going to read a little bit further, and because the Lord's just leading me to do that. "For our light affliction, like I said, I don't know where you're going through, but God says it's light. Wherever you're at in your life right now, whatever's going through in your life, in your marriage, in your home, in your family, your work, your school, whatever's going on, you may think, the world's coming to an end. The Bible says it's a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Well, what's it working on, preacher? It's working on changing your view. It's working on changing your view. Remember over there in the book of Genesis in chapter number 22, where God called Abraham and said, "Abraham, take thy son Isaac, thine only son, and offer him up for a burnt sacrifice to me in the land I will show thee, or in the mountain I will show thee thereof." And over in verse number 4 it says, "And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, because for 2.5 days he's been riding around like this. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, God, help me, what am I going to do?" But then he said he lifted up his eyes. Didn't say he looked out, said he lifted up his eyes. And said he saw that place afar off. If you look up that word in the Hebrew, afar, it means a great while to come. I about lapped my house when I read that. Because don't you just think, I just used my imagination. The Holy Ghost come on and said, I think maybe this is what it might have looked a little bit like, is that heavens rolled back. And for just a few seconds, God let Abraham see that place called heaven. Let him see that place afar off. And that sealed the deal with Abraham, so he took Isaac up in the mountain. I'm here to tell you, he'll change the way you look at things. He'll change your view. Look up there in verse number 18. It'll take your eyes off the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 18, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'm here to tell you right now, it'll change your view. God will get you in that place when you're in that valley or when you're in that storm. He'll get you to that point in your life where you've tried everything you know to try. You've looked behind every tree. You've looked behind every rock. You've looked in everybody's house. You've gone to this one, that one, asked this or that. You have done everything except lift your eyes up and look toward Him. He'll get you in that place with that persistent hope, with that ongoing hope, that hope that goes on day by day by day by letting you know that He's there for you. Every day, every step, every breath you take, He's there for you. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't do those things. Why? Because He promised He wouldn't. He said, I will never leave thee. I will never. That means He won't ever, never, not, never know. I'm here to tell you right now, He's there. He's there. He's there. I'm telling you, we have this persistent hope tonight. And through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Back over in our text, verse number 7 shows us that it is a precious hope. It is a precious hope. Verse number 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold. That word precious means very costly. Of great price and extremely valuable. In other words, it took something that I couldn't afford. It took the hope of the pure one to come down here. And why did He do that? He paid a debt He did not owe because I owed a debt I could not pay. I'm here to tell you right now, there was nothing I could do, nothing, no prayer I could offer up, no sacrifice I could make. There's no money, amount of money I could make, no work I could do that would earn me the precious thing that He bought for us over there. And if you just go down a few verses from where you're at right there in 1 Peter, in verse number 18, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations, received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Down in verse number 21, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and what? Hope might be in Him. It's a precious hope we have tonight. We need to guard it. We need to take care of it. We need to cherish it. We need to pray about it. We need to worship it. We just need to take it into our bosom and pull it in tight. We need to hold it close and guard it and protect it with everything that we have. Because the way the times is going, and I feel this from the bottom of my heart, the day's going to come and we can't meet together like this. The day's going to come when we're going to go back to the cottage meeting in the homes, in the basements, or out in the caves or the woods or wherever we have to go. But I'm here to tell you right now, we need to burn this in our hearts. We need to burn this word of hope in our hearts tonight. We need to learn all of it we can and burn it deep. Because I'm here to tell you right now, they're going to be taken away from us one of these days. But praise be unto God, when this old world's a-burning, this book will still be standing. I'm here to tell you right now, we have that precious hope through our word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In verse number 9, and I'll be closing with this. Verse number 9, one day there'll be an end of hope. One day there will be an end of hope. Receiving the end of your faith. Hallelujah. I'm going where I won't need it no more. I'm here to tell you right now, our salvation will be complete. I've been saved. I'm being saved. And one day I'll be completely saved from the presence of sin itself. My salvation will be done. I won't need it no more. Thank you, Lord. That word end means to terminate, or the termination, the limit at which a thing ceases to be. And not only will my salvation be complete, but my faith will be realized. My faith will be realized. What do you mean, preacher? Your faith will be realized. I'll be looking at Him. I'll have Him in my sights. I'll be dragging myself up to Him, prostrate, face first, looking at the hem of His garment. But He'll be there. My faith will be right there. He'll be in my presence. He'll be right there so I can see Him and worship Him for it while the ages roll on. When that day of the ending comes, the day of the ending will be the day of our beginning. Thanks be unto God when all these things come to pass. Not only will our salvation be complete and our faith will be realized, but our hope will end. Our hope will end. Because when you were a child and you wanted something for Christmas and you told your parents about it, or you wanted something for your birthday and you told them about it, and then before they got there, you just hope. And then when you got up that morning and looked under the tree and boom, there it was. And you run out there and you put your hands on it. Guess what left? Hope. Why? Because you had it. It was right there in your hands. It was right there. And then when that day comes, when we're in His presence, our hope will end. We'll have no more need of salvation or faith or hope. Why? Because we'll be in the presence of it. We'll be in the presence of our salvation. We'll be in the presence of our faith. We'll be in the presence of our hope. So we'll no longer need them because we'll be there. It's like going on a trip. You hope you hurry up and get there. But when you get there, the hope's gone because you're there. There's no need for it anymore. There's no longing for it anymore. There's no yearning for it or groaning for it or desire for it anymore. Because on what great glorious day you'll be there and it'll happen and it'll all come to an end when that day begins. See, because there's an ending at the beginning and there's a beginning at the ending. Well, I'm getting help with this. I'm telling you. This, I don't know if it's helping y'all, but this is helping me. This is helping me. Now, I know I've been preaching to the church. I know I've been preaching to the born again. And I wouldn't feel right if I didn't bring up this last point, Ephesians 2 and 12. If you're out there tonight and you don't know my Jesus Christ the way I know Him, if He's not your Lord and Master, if He's not the ruler of your life, your Redeemer, your hope and your faith, this part of the message is for you. Back up to verse number 11. Ephesians 2 and 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, that's you and I that are born again children of God. Thanks be unto God, that's a time that's past. It's cast behind us. It's separated from us as far as the east is from the west. It's been thrown into the lake of forgetfulness, never more to be brought to our account. I'm talking about the sin sickness that we had in our lives before we came to know Christ as our Lord and Savior. But if you're out there and you're not saved, this is you. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having what? No hope. And without God in the world. You can have that hope tonight. You can have this hope that I've been preaching about because this is our hope. This right here is our hope. This is our faith. This is our salvation because this is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells me He's the Word and this is the Word. So tonight, if you've never received the Word, if you've never accepted Him into your life or into your heart, you can before tonight's over with. You can have Him. You can have all these hopes. You can have all these promises that are in this book tonight. All you got to do is just give it up. Just surrender. Don't let your pride send you to hell. Amen. Don't let your prejudice send you to hell. Because those are two things that will do it quicker than anything else in this world. Pride and prejudice. Well, I'm too proud to go up. Or I don't believe all that. Wake up in hell and see what you believe. You'll be just like that rich man. You'll be crying out for relief, but their cries won't be heard. You're going to be eternally separated, not just from your loved ones, not just from the people you knew down here, but you're going to be separated eternally from a holy God who will never hear you again, who will never hear an utterance that you cry in that place. Brother Tim, would you come get you?